traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Its glistening towers, the sun a-shine. I feel like traveling on. A heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Let others seek a home below. I feel like traveling on. Which flames devour, or waves overflow. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. I got to take a breath. Beck's giving me a little play here. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Doris, I missed you on the piano, honey. Quit stuttering, tell us. Goodness gracious. Okay. Good to see everybody. Becky's out sick today, so that's why we said that about the piano. Doris is our assistant, and I was expecting her to be on that thing, but she was up here banging that one this morning, sounding really, really good. We'll have to get her on that, won't we? Okay, don't forget what's going on. I will go ahead and say this, since it's not in the bulletin today. That's my fault for it not being in the bulletin. But Brother Barry Simpson will be with us next Sunday morning. Some of you know Barry. He's been here before. He is the one who takes care of estate planning, and I told him that he could go through what he does with that also while he's here. But he's coming to preach next Sunday morning. I think next Sunday night, if you're interested in listening to what he has to say about the estate planning, you can do that. Some of us here at the church are into that. I think I am. I think Ron is, maybe less. I'm not sure. Is anybody else in that? Do you know? But anyway, he'll be here. He's a good preacher and a good friend of mine. I think you'll enjoy listening to him. We do start April next Sunday, so if you have got people in mind that you're wanting to invite to church, for the April, we're going through the whole month of April thinking about just inviting folks to church and getting them to know the Lord for their salvation. We just want to get a little excitement, a little upswing in our church attendance. So please get somebody in mind and make a visit or a card, call, whatever you do. Now it's texts and emails and Facebook and Snapchat, or is Snapchat something you do? You don't do that? What's that other one people uses? Yeah, yeah. used to be Telegram. It's some other gram now. But we move right along with all this technology that we have. And if you know the technology, use it to get in touch with people. Satan has all kinds of use for it. I didn't run out of breath there. I just thought I'd tell you. Satan has all kinds of use for it. Why don't we use it? Right? It's available. Let people know where you stand. Make a stand with that stuff. Okay, if our ushers would come forward, we'll receive our morning offering. God's been good to us, and we had mentioned to you last week that we did get a bunch of expense on us right now for the church. It's I think the new roof was about $11,000-something. I mentioned that to the lady and her brother who were visiting with us from New Jersey when she heard how much it was. She said, well, when you said you had to put a new roof on it, she said, I thought it'd be about $25,000. She's from New Jersey, and she was a realtor up there, and so she knew what she was talking about. So, yeah, people can sell their house in New Jersey and come down here and get twice as much house and still have money left over. So don't think about moving to New Jersey, okay? It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and we're going to worship Him, and this is one of the ways we worship Him, is by giving of our means. And John, would you bless this offering? Amen. Go ahead, Pam. Finish it.
Still rolling stones away. There's joy in the redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Of the Lord. If he's in your heart, there's joy in the house of this Lord, right? Yeah, that'll put a little snap in your feet. Did y'all start patting your foot? Did you start feeling it in your heart and your soul? I saw some of you moving. It's okay to move, right? Okay, boys, you can go to children's church. Okay. We're going to read. So I'll get my reading glasses out. It's what you do when you're going to read. You got to get your reading glasses out. I did find out that I should have glasses. Of course, Linda tells me that they don't work. So I'm feeling good before I get them. Anyway, I did have a prescription, and I turned it in, and they said you'll have your glasses next week. I sure hope so, and I hope they make a difference, because I'm getting wore out trying to read. You ever see me trying to read the paper? I've got glasses, but they don't work exactly right. But I got a little magnifying glass there on the table, and I get those, and it reminds me of my grandmother, who lived to be 105, and that's how she read the paper. She read the paper with a magnifying glass. And I think, bless her heart. I'd have to get a better magnifying glass than what I've got now if that's the way it's going to be. I do understand there are better glasses than these readers that you get that are not prescription, but they're, and so I may have to go to that. It's they're about like this, and they have lights on them. Have y'all seen those? They have little lights on them like a car coming down the highway. And I started to get some of those and wear them this morning, let y'all see what it looks like, but I didn't. Okay, it's good to be with you, and it's good to share this message that God gave me for us today. And the title of the message is, I Am Thine, O Lord. And I know that you all remember the songs that we sing. And I don't do this very often, but today I wanted to do it. In your songbook, 362, if you want to turn there, you can turn, because we're going to not sing it. We're going to look at the words, because I want you to see what this man was thinking about when he wrote the song, "I Am Thine, O Lord." The reason I wanted to do this was because in the scripture that I'm going to read, David was told by this man that that they were giving themselves to him. David was needing some help, and they came in and said, "We're thine. We're giving ourselves to you." That's what that means when you say, I am thine. That means you're giving yourself to whoever you say that to. That's stout. That's scary. If you're giving yourself away, because you're actually giving yourself to somebody. Well, so this man wrote this song, and we're going to read it here, okay? And then when you get that one, I'm gonna let you turn to another one. Just take a few minutes. "I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Consecrate me." Hang on. "Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine." Mm. Boy, this man felt it, didn't he? "Oh, the pure delight of a single hour, that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer, and with thee, my God, I commune as a friend with friend." Because he'd said, "I'm yours." "Then our depths of love, there are depths of love that I may not know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. I am thine, O Lord." See, once you make that decision, that's where you are. Now, look back just a few pages to 354, because this is a song we just sang last week, and we have sung it all of our lives, but it's an absolute wonderful song, and I just would pray that when we sing it, we sing it with meaning in our hearts, and we're actually saying, "Yes, I'm doing this." It's not just some words put to a tune. We're saying, actually, "Lord, I'm surrendering everything to you. I'm yours, and I'm surrendering everything to you." If we're not willing to do that, you're not serious about your relationship with God. And if you're not serious, God's not serious. God doesn't work on halfway doing the job. He gave it all for us. He was serious. When he gave his son, Jesus, to die on an old rugged cross, give his life, shed his blood, so that we could have our sins covered by his blood and leave here right, going to heaven. If we're not serious, he's not serious. That's what this scripture will tell us here in a minute. So he says, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at thy feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, make..." Well, I hate this. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I'm going to read them all. I'm going to defeat old Satan here. Right? Was that number three? Number four. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flames. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Boy, that's a phrase, isn't it? Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. That's what it means to say, I am thine, O Lord. I looked up a contemporary song, and the title of the song was, I Gave Myself Away So You Can Use Me. That was the meaning of the song. I gave myself to you so that you could use me. That's why we give ourselves to him. When we sing this song, I am thine, O Lord, that's what we're saying. I am yours, Lord. Here I am. Use me any way you wish. Because that's why I did this. And that another song we used to do, I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. If we want to know more about him, that means we have a vested interest in him, because we have given something very big to us, very powerful to us, and that's ourselves. We gave ourselves to him. I am thine, O Lord. Let's read those three verses now. Verse 16, 17, and 18 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, it's in your bulletin. But if you don't have your Bible, it'll be up here on the screen. So we'll do this together. And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. And David went out to meet them, and answered and said unto them, if ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you, if that's the way you're coming. What's the next word, church? That's going to change things. If you come one way, this is how it'll be. But if you come the other way, this is how it'll be. God gives us that option all the time, folks. We can come by way of bit or bridle. If you're a horse person, you know what I mean. The bridle is easier to be on the horse. The horse doesn't want the bit. I can assure you, the bit will hurt his mouth. And God says, if you do it my way, it'll be like the bridle. If you don't do it my way, it'll be like the bit. And so he went on to say, but if ye be come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in thine hands, the God of our fathers look upon thee and rebuke it. Verse 18, this is pretty much where this message comes from. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, what did he say, church? Thine are we. David had a question mark in what he had to say, and he needed clarification from them as to whether they really were going to commit themselves to him or not. And so when he did that, they said, thine are we, David, and on thy side. If you're going to commit yourself, you'll take sides, right? Are you on the Lord's side? If we're on the Lord's side, folks, we're in good shape. But let's make sure we know what we're saying when we say we're on his side and that we've committed ourselves to him. thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received. Don't you like that? Then David received them and made them captain of the band. You want the pleasures of being one of God's children and being what he makes you to be, then just give yourself to him. Don't play games with him. Don't play games with him. If you know you're lost and dying and going to hell and you want to go to heaven, don't play games with him. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to fall in love with him. He does. And we're going to see this morning if that's possible for some folks who need him. You may have a friend or a family member who needs the Lord. This is what they need to know. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful to be in your house. We're so thankful to be here to receive of you what you have for us. Lord, I pray that everyone in this building today will be able to leave here saying that they have committed themselves to you, that they are yours, and that you're theirs. Thank you, Lord, for that. We're going to praise you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. What we have to surrender to, the reason I had you to read the words of I surrender all, is that what we have to surrender to, when we say I surrender to you, Lord, what we're surrendering to is we understand the price he paid for us. He bought us. He did. He bought us, and he paid a price. The price was his life on Calvary. I gave myself to that because that's what he said I needed to do to have everlasting life. And so I did that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, you're not your own. Once you have done this, once you have given your life to him, you said, I'm yours, I commit myself because I realize the situation I'm in now, I am as lost as I can be. I need to be saved so I can go to heaven. I need to be saved so my life will mean something down here. I need to be saved so I can be something more than what I am right now to my fellow man. And if that's the case, he says, after you've done that, you're not your own now. You don't have any rights to your life anymore. Now, to this world, that doesn't sound right. You know, this liberal world that we live in now, we have all sorts of rights. When it comes to aborting a baby, and you say that's not right to abort a life because we know how we feel about life. And it's not right. But then the liberal side of this thing says, oh, well, it's my body. I can do what I want to with it. Something doesn't go well there. There is a God in heaven. He's still God in heaven. He's still the creator of all things. He's still the creator of life. He still creates the life of that baby. Amen? He does. He's the creator of it all. It's not ours. It's not ours. When we commit our life to him, he has it. So he says, you're not your own. Why? Because you've been bought with a price. Therefore, it goes on to say, therefore, since that's the way it is, glorify God. Don't sit around and say, oh, man, I've lost my liberty. I've lost my freedom. I gave my life to him. Now I don't own it. You're not going to think like that. If you know where you stand with God as a lost person, that's not the way you're going to think. If you truly get saved, you're not going to be saying, oh, I wish I could still live some of my life. I wish I could do some of the things I used to do, the things that got me where I am now. My unbelief in Him and all the sins that have disturbed and messed up my life. You're not going to think you want to do those things anymore. You're going to be so relieved that God has forgiven you of them and they're gone. That's what it means to give our lives to Him. So it says, therefore, glorify God in your body. Wouldn't that be much better? I saw some of y'all moving to that song that Ashley was singing back there. And it wasn't just the melody of it. It was what the song had, and you were into it, and you were singing it. And I think that's the way it ought to be. I think when somebody's up here singing, you ought to, if you know it, mouth it or go along with it and sing with it. It's okay. It won't bother them one bit. And it doesn't bother me one bit if you say amen every now and then. If I know you're alive and you're breathing. Right? I'd like to know that. So that we can do that together. And that's what he said here. He says, therefore glorify God in thy body and in thy spirit, which are God's. That's how huge this thing is that lives in us once we give our life to Him. You'll never give freely of what you have until you have given your life to Him. You've got to give something away before you can give anything. And I am by your means, I'm not talking about your money. I appreciate those who have said, we want to help with the extra expense on the church roof and everything. We appreciate that. But that's not all this is all about, folks. Your life is not in what you have at the bank. Your life is not in what you own out here in the county or in the city. It's not that at all. That would be pitiful, wouldn't it? If my life is what I have, actually, that I can put my hands on. Because that's not what I am. I'm a spirit. God didn't create me a body with a spirit. He created me a spirit with a body. I'm number one, a spirit. That's why when we die, we go to an eternal place which is called heaven or hell. Don't try to let this world muddy that water for you. There's only two places that we're going to go. So He goes on to let us know that it's important to us that we get where we're going to get with our lives, because until we are, we won't be able to with our hearts now, okay? Because the true Christian is not a self-centered person. The true Christian is a heart person. It's not like on a form that you say, this is what you have. It's not that at all. It's from the heart. And God looks on the heart, and He knows everything that's in your heart. You're not only a consumer of the things of God, we're producers also. But we're producers of the fruit of the Spirit. If you're going to give your life to Him, He's going to give you a sweet spirit. Your friends that you have now are not going to know you like they used to know you. You're going to be different, but you're going to be something they see they need. See, because we have to come to a place to where we become a person who has a life to live that others can see and say, that's wonderful. That's where I need to be. All this time I've been wondering. Be that, because you might be the only person that ever reaches another person. But first of all, you must know where you are. So we're not just people who consume the things that God has, and I praise God for the things He allows me to consume. I love it. Sometimes I consume so much just sitting there at the house by myself into His Word. I consume so much that I get overwhelmed and I can't see what I'm looking at there in the book. Or my hearing goes bad because I'm hearing such a wonderful song, and since my eyes have been messed up, I don't hear good. Nothing works right, I'm telling you. But when God starts giving us the things he has in his life, it's just wonderful. And then we can go out and we can produce the fruits of the Spirit. And you know what those are. In Galatians, he tells us it's the spirit of love. You can go out and show some true love. Not this old world's love. This old world's love is a lust love. It's not a good love. The love that God's talking about is a wonderful spirit of love. It's wonderful. So if you want to go out and show some love and gentleness and kindness and long-suffering and things to this old world which needs it really bad, you'll have to know him first because his spirit's got to live in you. Okay, now to get here, to get to this place that I'm talking about right now, we have to do something. We got to get there, right? And by getting there, you get there by, first of all, making that awesome decision. That first step in getting there is to do what? You got to repent. I heard the word repent. Boy, y'all listen real good, don't you? Huh? Yeah. We got to come to that place to where, before I can say, Lord, I'm giving myself to you, you're right, Gina. You have to say, Lord, I'm repenting of the sin that's in my life. This, I don't want this in my life. I want you to take it. I want you to handle it. I want you to do something with it, and he'll do something with it. So this is a step that you have to decide on. You have to nail it down. Remember, David here in this scripture was running away from Saul. Saul was threatening him, and he was staying in caves, and he may have been in a cave when this particular thing happened here, probably was, because he was running for his life. Now, the tribe of Benjamin, the reason I told you that earlier, the tribe of Benjamin was connected to Saul, who was running David into the caves. He was after him. He was going to take his life. And the tribe of Benjamin was connected to Saul. So when they came with the tribe of Benjamin and others came up, David was a little suspicious. Do you blame him? No, because he knew that. So he knew Saul had tried to pull things on him before, and he wasn't going to allow this again. So he says, well, I tell you what, now, you listen to me. I don't know if he was bluffing or not. I don't think he was. You listen to me. If you come with the right spirit, I'll receive what you've got. But if you don't come in the right spirit, you know, he didn't get into himself there. Did you notice that? What he said was when he got to there, he said that God will rebuke it. I may feel like rebuking it, but you see, he wasn't led by his own strength and his own power. He was led by the strength and power of God. So he said, you come to me with the wrong idea here, and God will take care of it. Amen? Isn't it good to trust in someone to take care of your business? Yeah, it is. But God, in a big way here in this scripture, shows up for David. He needed something drastic to happen. He needed to trust somebody. So when they said, we've made a decision, we're going to stand with you. And he says, well, that sounds good, but I need to know if it's really true. If you make a decision to follow Christ, according to other scriptures in the New Testament, we've got to count the cost. You don't make a decision not knowing anything. Some folks think that making a decision by faith is that you just close your eyes and make it. No, you don't. You can close your eyes if you want to, but you're going to believe a fact. And the fact, it's not a closed eye fact. The fact is what God's word says. So if you're going to make that decision to follow Christ, it's got to be that you have looked at it and said, I want to make sure I'm making the right decision here for my life, because once I make this decision, once I make it, it's for real. I'm not playing games with God. I want to count the cost. I want to know what it's going to cost me. Well, you'll find out that the cost is really good. Not going to be hard to take at all. It's going to be wonderful, actually. So, we trust him. We trust him, and then we We count what he's got for us, and then we move forward with it. Don't move forward until you have counted the cost and you're ready to make that decision, and then you make it. So the first step is you've got to decide to do it. And then in 17, he says there's a conditional offer on the table in verse 17. We'll see that conditional offer. If, now that sounds conditional to me, don't it you? The if sounds conditional. If thine heart shall be knit, if you're making this decision rightly, my heart will be knit to yours. We're going to do this together. It's going to be knit unto you. That's what the Lord is actually saying to a person who is lost, who is ready to make that decision to repent of their sin and give their life to him. He says, now when you do this, when you make this commitment, if you're making it right that you understand your sin is what I'm after, I don't like your sin, I want to forgive your sin, I want to take your sin away, if you're doing it rightly, I'll knit my heart to you. I believe there are a lot of folks who are in the name of Christianity are going around not knit to the Lord because their decision was made by something that said, well, my life is a mess. I just need to get out of this mess, and just maybe going down there to the church will take care of that. Going to the church won't take care of it. It won't take care of it. But if you make a commitment from your head and your heart and your very soul to God that you're going to commit yourself to him, he will knit his heart to you. Knit. That's pretty tight, folks. Amen? He didn't need half-hearted people. David didn't need half-hearted people or heartless people. He didn't need that. He needed somebody who was going to bring their heart in and say, with all my heart and soul, I commit myself to you. Now, the Lord's work is like David's. His work is a heart work. If you're a Christian and you've been in the work of the Lord, you know that the things you do are not with the knowledge that you have in your head. It's with your heart. Your heart's been changed. If you gave your heart to him and he changed that into a new heart, you have a new heart, and it's changed. It's learned how to love. It's learned how to be kind, how to be sensitive and loyal to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and how to be faithful to the Lord. It's a heart thing, and God's work is a heart work. I promise you, that's what it is. So he that is not for me is against me. And that's what the Lord had to say. If you're not for me, you're against me. So this has to be a personal surrender. I would love it. Some people who have come to me and they've been really confused about where they are in their life. They really need help. And I explained the plan of salvation to them, and it hasn't caught. And I'd like to say, well, I can do that for you. I want you to be saved so bad that I'd love to do that for you. But I can't. None of us can. No matter how important that person is to us, we can't do it for them. It's a very personal surrender. So therefore, every time I look down, I lose part of where I am. What he's trying to get them to see is this is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that they do. He allows us. The Holy Spirit allows us. So don't take any credit for making your decision. He allows us to decide, and he allows us to commit to the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He has a job to do, and that's what he does. Once you say, I am thine, O Lord, you are no longer your own. Don't forget that. Consecration of service unto the Lord and to follow Him, take on a clothing. It's a new outfit. Everybody likes to put a new outfit on every now and then, right? Well, this is a new outfit, I can assure you. In your soul and spirit and your heart, you're going to be dressed differently. But the Holy Spirit's the one who does the dressing. Nobody can tell me what color tie I need with the suit I'm wearing. You might tell me it looks good, but you know who's going to make the decision what I wear? That'd be me. But you know, when it came down to my relationship with God, it wasn't up to me to decide what I was going to be wearing. He would decide. Not my suit. I'm talking about my spiritual clothing. He would make me what I'm going to be. And so when we make that decision, that surrender to Him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He'll clothe you. He'll put on you what you need. So when we get to that point, still we know exactly where we need to be. In verse 18, where we make that awesome surrender, where we say, I am thine, there will be a confession to be made. And that confession is a confession of faith. And this is where the world wants to use the word faith like it's something that you can bring out whenever you want it, whenever it works for you. If you're in a religious setting of some sort and you want to be a part of that, you can use the word my faith. That doesn't work with God. It doesn't work. Because either you have made a decision by faith, that means that you have trusted that God is now the one you have given yourself to. You have given yourself. You have committed. You have said, I am thine. Once you have done that, you are no longer your own. You got to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. You are totally His. And when you do that, I promise you things are going to be much better for you as you go through the rest of your life. What a confession it is to get into the Word of God about Himself. If you want to know anything about God, don't go ask another person. Read the Word. Get into the Word. Best confession ever. And the things that God has created. I had a picture of a falls on my phone, and I sent it to the couple up in New Jersey, and I was just letting them know what's around here in case they were to move here from New Jersey, and he came right back with it immediately and said, oh man, that looks like God's creation. And I wanted to send him all of them on my phone, but that would have taken a year or two, because God's creation is, it's out of this world. Can I say it like that? His creation is out of this world. He lets us enjoy that more than we'll ever be able to enjoy it without Him. I believe there's something special about the Holy Spirit that moves into us. It doesn't make us look Christian or act Christian. I believe it's just a beautiful spirit that comes directly from God for everything that goes on in our life. Everything. Will we worship Him better? Well, yeah, we will. If you're not saved, you can't worship Him. You won't worship Him. You may even sing one of those worshipful songs, but you're not worshiping Him. It's got to be personal. and they were making it personal here. Did you notice that? So we can bring the peace of God to other people as long as it's here first. It has to be here. If it's not here, we can't give it to anybody else. He's brought it and introduced it to you, placed it in your life, and now that's where you are. It amazed me that in this scripture that I read, that in verse 18 also, what David promises them, it's totally theirs. You don't have to share what he's given you with anybody. You can share the idea. You see, if that were the case, if I'm saved and you're not, and I want to share my salvation with you, I can't share my salvation. I can share with you the scripture that it takes for you to get there. You got to get there yourself. And when this happens, what happens is that the Lord gives us something that we wouldn't have otherwise. We receive something. So that's why he used the word received in verse 18, if you'll notice it there. Then David received them. What was it they did? They said, I am thine. They were giving themselves to him. They were saying, we're yours. Then David said, well, I'm yours. It says David received them. If David received them, what he's saying is, come right on in. Get you a cup of coffee and let's sit down and talk about this. Because now we're in the same ballpark. You've given yourself and I'm giving myself. You know, what he did was something, it was in that song that Ashley sang. And I thought, how wonderful that is that she sang that song. Because he says, David received them and we all know what and is around here. And is what? It's the mayonnaise. Yeah, if you're going to eat a tomato sandwich, you're not eating it without mayonnaise, are you? It's mayonnaise and, or tomato and mayonnaise. You got to have them both or you don't have the sandwich. Well, David says he received them and made them captains of the band. Amen, Chris. Not only did he receive them into his life, his personal life, he made them have a position that they wouldn't have had otherwise. When you understand your position with the Lord after your salvation, when you understand what he's doing for you, what he has done for you, what he's going to do for you, because now you have committed yourself to him and he's committed himself to you, you now have a relationship that is knitted together. It's so entwined that you don't have to ever wonder, is it going to be okay? He's going to let you know at all times your life is now in his hands. And it's in good hands. If you've done that today, I want you to just take a moment and thank him that by his sweet Holy Spirit, he gave us the right to do that, to repent of our sins, allow him to take them, forgive them, get rid of them. Thank him for that. Because what a wonderful position that is. And that position that we have, he's made us captains of the band. He has. He's given us a precious, precious spot in his life. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. Let us pray. What an honor to be received and welcomed into the love of God and into His service, to be able to serve Him faithfully. What a wonderful Lord and Savior He is. Don't you want Him? If you're not saved today, don't leave here without making that decision. Please don't. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. We don't. There were thousands of people just a month ago didn't have any idea that they'd be facing death by the thousands. And we have missionaries in the Ukraine just to tell them what I told you today. You live in a free country, but only God's Holy Spirit has given you the freedom to say, I repent of my sin, and I want you to forgive me. God, I want you to forgive me. I want to know your Son, Jesus Christ, is my Savior. I want to fall in love with Him today. I want to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I'm His and He's mine. Father, we thank you for the Scripture. We thank you for the message in this Scripture. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done in the hearts of each one who's sitting in these pews. God, I pray that everyone leaves today with everything all right because they decided to say, I am thine, O Lord. And we're going to praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing one verse of this song. What is it? Jesus is calling, He's tenderly calling, tenderly calling today. That's how He does that. He tenderly speaks to your heart. You know, we live in East Tennessee where a lot of people holler. You know, we're in the hollering part of the state. My mom, you could hear her from my house on Banner Hill all the way down to the Nolichucky River. And that's on the other side of the interstate now. But she could holler, and you'd say, that's Mom. She wants us to come home. We'd been gone all day down to the river. She didn't know we were even alive, but she hollered anyway. But you know, when the Lord speaks to you, He just speaks to you with a still, small voice. But He gets your attention. I don't have any doubts that the Holy Spirit has gotten some folks' attention here today. I know. Now, what you do with it will be totally up to you. You have to be the one to say, I am thine, O Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Make me to be what I need to be. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock and we'll worship together again. And if you know anybody that you'd like to invite tonight, give them a call this afternoon and tell them you'd like for them to come with you. If they need a ride, we'll find a way to get them here, right? We all got cars. Yeah, and they can have a ride, sure can. God bless you. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. you do that, Jonah?